So before we get started, I'm just going to do a quick review of last week's message for those of you who missed it. So to begin our review, I'm going to share with you a response I gave to a couple of questions that I was asked last week after the message. So there were two people who came up to me and asked pretty much the same question from last week's sermon. The question was regarding the text in Matthew 5. You guys read it again so you guys refresh your memory. Matthew 5:38.
But I say to you, that is the one who is the Lord. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If anyone will see you and take your tunic, let him have your cloth also. And if anyone forces you to walk on one mile, it will be equal to mine. Give it to the one who begs from you, and do not give it to the one who borrows
from you. After this, a lot of people were like, I don't know, especially the beg and borrow. I don't know if I could get, and then we're talking about it in Sunday school, right? Don't charge interest. You saw that in the text. Be careful when you co-sign for somebody, right? We talked all about this in Sunday school. So the question was, regarding that text and regarding the sermon, was based on what I said about the teaching of Jesus about retaliation. One of the questions was, did Jesus correct the written law or the oral law? The other question was more like a comment. Asked, why did Jesus have to correct the law of retaliation or the law of retribution in the Sermon on the Mount if the law was good and right? So let me clarify what I said. So it's pretty much the same question. So to clarify, I said that lex talionis, the topic from last week, was originally put in place in ancient Babylon, right? In order to what? To provide equitable retaliation for an offended party as determined by a judge or court in order to prevent the act of personal vengeance. You guys remember this part, right? That was the original intended purpose for the law of retribution, lex talionis. Right? Now the Israelites adapted this law and put it in place in the giving and in the writing of the case laws. Now, I mentioned that the problem arose when people interpreted this law, the law of retaliation, to extremes, either as justification for personal revenge or as a watered-down version of the original law. This was how lex talionis was being taught by the teachers of the law when Jesus came into the scene in the New Testament. So my answer to the questions that were asked last week was that lex talionis, as it was originally intended, was supposed to provide equitable retaliation for an offended party as determined by a judge or a court in order to prevent the act of personal vengeance. That was the written law. That was one that found in the Code of Hammurabi in ancient Babylon, and it was found in the Israelites' Book of the Covenant. There is nothing wrong about that written law. Let me say it again. Nothing wrong about that written law. It needed no correction, right? That's why, if you can also remember, I said that Jesus, before he gave this teaching on retribution, he emphasized the importance of the law, right? And obedience to it, because there was nothing wrong with the written law. And that is why when Jesus began his teachings on retribution, he always started with what? You have heard it said, or as it was said. That's Jesus referring to the wrong teachings that the Pharisees were teaching regarding the understanding and application of the written law. Nothing wrong with the written law, but there was something wrong with how it's being taught. Right? That's why Jesus had to correct it. Not the written, but the teaching of it, the wrong teaching of it. So that's how we ended last week, right? How should we correctly understand and therefore correctly apply lex talionis from the perspective of being a victim of an evil person? That's how we ended last week, right? Jesus says what? If somebody does wrong to you, do not resist that person. Do not resist the one who is evil. Instead, overcome evil by showing mercy. Because when you resist, you become overcome with evil, you become evil. That's why Jesus said, don't do it. Don't go like this. Remember? You'll just blow up, both of you. So Jesus said, somebody like that. Jesus said, don't do that. Just let them do what they want to do. And on top of that, show mercy. Be kind. Right? Paul says that the same thing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the only way to overcome evil. Not by becoming evil yourself. Now, unfortunately, even this teaching of Jesus is also misunderstood and applied incorrectly nowadays. Right? The modern name or term for the incorrect understanding and application of this teaching is called social justice. This topic is near and dear to me because I had bad experience with it in this church. Really bad. That's why it's near and dear to me for you guys to understand what this term means. Social justice. If you look at your Bibles, open your Bibles up. Depending on what version you have, if you go to Exodus 22:16, there should be a header. What does the header say in your Bibles? Some of you have a header, some of you don't. But those of you who has a header, Exodus 22:16, what does the header say? What's that? Laws for social justice. So you heard the video. It says that the Bible doesn't talk about social justice. It does. It says right there. These are the laws for social or about social justice or social justice laws. Now this morning, we're going to be, before we look at the examples of social justice in these verses, I want us to see the difference between the social justice that's being described in these chapters versus the modern definition of the term social justice. Remember when we took up slavery? I said, don't take your modern knowledge of what slavery is now, or even back in the 1800s, and read it into the text. Because if you do that, you're going to demonize the text. You're not going to understand it properly. Social justice is the same thing. If you take the definition of what social justice nowadays mean and then read it into the text is not going to make sense. Because that's not the social justice that the text is talking about. Very slick. They hijacked that term, social justice. Then changed it to mean something else. So, before we get into the examples, I want us to see the difference between social justice, or I'm just going to say biblical social justice, that is in the scriptures, versus the modern definition of the term social justice. So, what is social justice in our context? Or better yet, what's the difference between today's social justice and biblical social justice? In order for us to answer these questions, let's first define justice by itself. I like the definition that was given on the video. What was the definition? Justice is getting what you deserve without favor. That's justice, right? So what is justice? Let's dive into it a little bit more. According to Webster's Dictionary, this is justice. This is how it defines justice. Justice is the maintenance or administration of what is just. Now, when you read that, I'm sure that doesn't answer your question. Right? The next question would be what? What is just? Right? Now, what is just? To be just is to conform to a standard of correctness. To be just is to conform to a standard of correctness. Or in other words, to be just is to be righteous. Right? What does righteousness mean? To be righteous is to act or to be in conformity with what is morally upright, good, and correct. So really, to be just, and if you look at your Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the word for just and righteous It's pretty much the same word. Because it's pretty much the same thing. Justice is to make right what is done wrong. Righteousness is to do what's right. Okay? So to be just is to conform to a standard of correctness. And I've said that it also means to act righteously. Therefore, justice is the administration and maintenance of a standard of moral uprightness and what is good and correct. Say that again. Justice is the administration and maintenance of a standard of moral uprightness, righteousness, of what is good and what is correct. Or in other words, the administration of justice is an act of righteousness. It is to act correctly. You guys follow? No? Okay? There should be another question there, right? What does it mean to be correct? Correctness implies that there must be an objective standard for something to be correct. Otherwise, you are incorrect. Get it? There has to be a standard for something, and it has to be objective for something to be correct. Like 1 plus 1, 11, equal 11? No, because you no, right? But some people say, no, yeah, it is equals 11, because you add 1 and 1, it's 11. That's not how it works. But hey, there's people out there that say mathematics is a oppressive tool by society, by the government, because they don't want to adhere to what is correct. They don't want to adhere to an objective standard. Right? What does it mean to be correct? Correctness implies that there must be an objective standard for something to be correct, because the opposite is to be incorrect. Now, what is that objective standard? That objective standard must be based on truth and impartiality. For something to be correct, it has to be true. And for something to be correct, it has to be impartial. It's to apply to everybody. You can't be partial if you're saying you're correct. And you have to be true. Right? So let me emphasize this a little bit more. First, let's start with truth. If correctness is based on truth, then the truth must be objective. Agree? Nobody understands what I'm saying. I'll summarize it for the Sunday school crowd. Okay? If correctness is based on truth, then the truth must be objective. It cannot be relative. Like, you cannot say, I think it's true. What do you think? Cannot be that. It cannot be subjective. Right? Can't be relative. It can't be subjective. It has to be objective. That means that there should only be one truth for something to be correct. Ah, finally. I'm seeing it. Right? There has to be only one truth. Otherwise, there's no real truth. Amen? Okay. Therefore, Sunday school crowd, those of you who still like this, true justice cannot be administered in the absence of truth, because when truth is absent, it can't be correct. Right? And the same can be said about impartiality. There can be no real justice in the absence of impartiality. We cannot be partial if we are to be just. To administer justice without these two components is to commit an injustice. Check out Leviticus 19:15.
You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or be further to the rich. But in righteousness shall be judged your people.
Right? You shall not be partial to the poor. Even though they're poor, don't let compassion come before justice. Right? Justice comes first. If you put compassion first, you're going to show partiality. Amen. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great or the rich. But in righteousness, in just or in truth, you shall judge your neighbor. So when we combine these definitions, okay, we can say that true justice corrects a wrong that is done to something or someone based on an impartial standard of correctness and objective truth. Right? I'll say it again. True justice is something, it's the administration of something that corrects a wrong, or a decision that corrects a wrong that is done to something or someone based on an impartial standard of correctness and objective truth. It has to be there. True justice, at the foot of true justice, at its foundation, at its roots, has to be impartiality and objective truth in order for the response or the decision of the whoever is doing the judging, in order for that decision to be correct. If they're not standing on truth and if they're partial, right, their decision to administer justice will be incorrect. So now, if that is what justice means, then how would we define social justice? Is social justice the same as that kind of justice? Same as original justice? And how does the term social justice differ from biblical justice? I think the definition of justice that we just went through is biblical. That's what the Bible talks about. When God says He's a just God, it means that He is, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we just saw in Romans, Paul says God shows no partiality. It fits in, right, to our definition of justice. What about social justice? First, let me summarize biblical justice. Biblical justice is the act of making things right based on the very character and word of God as the standard for morality, goodness, and correctness. I hope everybody here agrees with that. Okay? On the other hand, today's social justice is something completely different. And a lot of people are getting sucked into this, even churches. And I say this because it happened in our church. A lot of our young people were listening to this stuff, and still is, some of them. And I don't want you guys to get sucked into this as well. Because it sounds right, but it's wrong. Right? In fact, it's so wrong, one Nobel Prize-winning economist, Friedrich Hayek, said these things about social justice. And I quote, "I have come to feel strongly that the greatest service I can still render to my fellow men would be that I could make the speakers and writers among them thoroughly ashamed ever again to employ the term social justice. The idea of social justice is the state, the government, should treat different people unequally in order to make them equal. At its root, that's what social justice does. Treat people, different people, unequally in order to make them equal." Let me give you an example, those of you who are half asleep. This will wake you up. Robin Hood. Who knows Robin Hood? Why is Robin Hood such a hero for social justice? Because he takes from the rich and gives to the poor. Why is he doing that? To make everybody equal. Because the poor are, they're disadvantaged. The rich have all these things. And his definition of making it equal is, let me grab from these guys. These guys have a lot. But these people work for it. Most of them do. Some of them don't. I get it. But most of the rich people, they work for it. So who are you to say you don't deserve that? They do. That's social justice. trying to make everybody who are unequal equal, but in doing so, they treat the other party unequally. This is why, like, look what was happening with Palestine and Israel. Why are people rallying for Palestine? All of a sudden, the Jews are bad. Kill all the Jews. It's because they see them as the oppressed. And the Jews are not. But look at what happened. If you were to judge that situation correctly, impartial, how would you judge it? Think about it. Think about it. This is for next week. I'm getting ahead of myself. But think about it. Okay? Because that what they're doing to these Palestinian rallies is unjust. I think. I'll explain it next week. But I want you guys to think about it this week. So now my question to you is this. Why would a Nobel Prize winning economist, why would an economist say that about social justice? What does social justice really mean? I'll give you my take on social justice. My definition of social justice is the redefinition or the correcting of true biblical justice. The redefinition or the correcting of true biblical justice. So they see the justice that's being dispensed in the Bible, and they say, that's wrong, that's inhumane, incorrect. Let me make my own laws to correct that. That's what some people from last week's message thought, that was what's happening with the Jesus in Matthew 5. When he's correcting, he's not correcting the actual written law. He's correcting the spoken law because it was being taught wrong. Social justice is correcting the written law and then teaching that to our society. You get why this is so important? Like, if you see what's being taught in the schools today, the written law of gender, it's written. I don't care what you say. Right? Like, if you were to go against the law of gravity, okay? I don't believe in gravity. It shouldn't exist. Okay, go on the top of CN Tower, jump off. Let's see if you can correct it. You can't. Right? But that's what they're doing. That's what social justice is doing. And they're teaching it to our kids in the schools, in universities. We were listening to, what was that? Was that TikTok last night? They're hiring at Waterloo. Waterloo's hiring, but if you're white and you're male, you can't apply. Not allowed. Why? Only what? Colored, transgendered, natives can apply. White males? Any white males out here? Kelly, you can't apply, sorry. Jesse, can't apply. Is that just? I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. But that's what it's doing. It's taking the written law and correcting it. In other words, since social justice does not agree with the way the Bible does justice, social justice came up with their own brand of justice in order to correct errors that they found with how the Bible administers justice. This is the same situation that happened to Jesus again in Lex Talionis, right? When the Pharisees took Lex Talionis and used it to serve their own purposes instead of its intended original purpose. The term social justice is doing the same thing. It is taking justice, the act of making things right, and using it to serve a different purpose. Let me read to you another quote from the economist Hayek. He said this, "There is all the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal." There is all the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. While the first is the condition of a free society, the second means, as de Tocqueville describes it, a new form of servitude or slavery. difference between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. Let me give you this example. If I had $100,000, $1 billion. If I had $1 billion right now, that's all we had, that's all the money in the world right now, is just $1 billion. And I gave everybody whatever your fair share is. Okay? Now everybody here, $1 billion divided by 200, so you got a lot of money. Some of you became good stewards and invested it and made more money. Some of you just went to the Yorkdale and spent it there. In the end, you have no money, but you have nice bags and shoes, which cost nothing. Once you take it out, it loses value. Social justice says, you guys made money? I'll take it. I'm going to give it to these people, even though they didn't spend their money wisely. That's what social justice is doing. It takes away individual accountability. That's why the example, right? From the video. Somebody robbed the store. You should be tried and then, found guilty, put in jail. But social justice is saying, well, what if he was an abused person? What if he has mental illness? I know some of you guys are, hey, mental illness is real. Yeah, it is, but some people are taking advantage of it. No, seriously. A lot of people are taking advantage of it. Right? Is that just? No, it's not. Right? Treating people equally and attempting to make them equal, there's a world of difference between that. Well, the first is the condition of a free society. The second means it's just a new form of slavery. If we look at God and how just is God, God says, or the Bible says, God has common grace for everybody. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. That's justice. No partiality. Treating people equally because we're all sinners. He should just kill all of us. But there's common grace available for everybody, right? That's just. Social justice is not like that. Correcting or adding to the written law as given by God is nothing but a new form of slavery. Pharisees did it long ago. Why were the Pharisees slave masters? Because they're adding on to the weight of the law that's not supposed to be there. Right? They're putting a yoke on people that the law has no intention to do because they keep adding on to it. That's why they taught Lex Talionis the way they taught Lex Talionis. Go get revenge. Right? Pharisees did it long ago. Now social justice warriors are doing it again. In the name of justice and in the name of justice and equity, not equality. What's the difference? What's the difference between equity and equality? The website humanrightscareers.com lists 4 pillars of social justice. These are the pillars that social justice stands on. The website states, for social justice to become a reality, 4 pillars must be built. Human rights, access, participation, and equality. No. Equity. That's not a misspelled word. It's equity. Social justice can't be achieved without these 4 principles. Without equity, human rights, access, and participation, social justice cannot stand. So what's the difference between equality and equity? Again, to put it in simple terms, equality is about giving all human beings equal opportunities and resources regardless of race, religion, and gender. Agree? All right, back to my illustration earlier. We had $1 billion. That's the only resources that are available to us. I gave everybody equal. That's equality. Equity, on the other hand, is about acknowledging each person's different circumstances and then allocates or reallocates the exact resources and opportunities needed to reach an equal outcome for everybody. So the people that I gave whatever, 100,000 to, who were good stewards, made their money, and then the people, the Yorkdale people, you spent too much on Yorkdale. Oh, poor you. Let me get some from these people so that we can have everybody back equal. That's equity. No personal accountability for the people who did not spend their money wisely. No personal accountability. Now, on the surface, there seems to be nothing wrong with either. Some people, I like equity. I can spend all I want and still receive from the government. From the surface, there's nothing wrong with it. Who here got, when COVID was, when COVID was, you know, when it first started, who here got, who got SERB? Raise your hands. Equity. Listen. I got SERB. My kids got SERB. Did we? We were so happy, yes. Equity. Forget all the working people. Equity. Yeah. Thank you for all the working people for giving my son SERB. But that's what there's nothing wrong with it. It seems to be nothing wrong with it. It's good. It gets the problem solved. But there's a huge problem underneath it. William H. Young, an author and an academic in social sciences and social justice, writes this. You guys read it.
Social justice as a whole generally means state related institution of the right and resources to stand up to the social and economic equality. Community sharing of the rules has raised individual responsibility and is appropriate as a consequence of social society. Ultimately, social justice can only be realized through a permanent economy and totalitarian which is envisioned by the sustainability ideology to both economic and social equity, considering the economy to be synonymous with
equality. You get what the problem is? Here's the problem. If social justice is about equity and it's about making everybody's outcome equal, who decides who to take from? Like, who decides that? Who decides, like, oh, since you're rich, I'll take from you. And since you're disadvantaged, you deserve more. Who decides that? Here it says the state. That's the big problem with it. Right? Social justice advocates, communal sharing by group, and here's the other problem with it. Social justice advocates communal sharing by group. So it's not individual. It's by group. Like all the rich people are bad because they're advantaged. All the poor people are good because they're disadvantaged. It's like rooting for the underdog. Who decides to root for the underdog? You, right? Here is the government. Replacing social justice advocates, advocates communal sharing by group, replacing individual responsibility and reciprocity as the main characteristic of a functioning and free society. Why does Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, tell us to love our neighbors and give to the poor? He didn't say all the rich people are bad. He just says, if you're rich and you have resources, you ought to help. Right? That's individual responsibility and reciprocity. That's a heart issue. People don't give because they don't like the poor. No, because they don't want to give. Amen. When the offering plate passes later, that's what it says. Right? New Testament giving, right? It has to come from a cheerful mouth, face, heart, and grateful heart. That's why you give. That's why you reciprocate. Social justice takes that out. No, I'll just take it from you. You don't want to give? I'll take it from you. And I'll give it to who I deem deserve it. That's not a free society. Right? This is a huge problem because in order to achieve economic and social equity, the state must have total power to redistribute advantages and resources to whomever they deem deserves it the most. This goes totally against biblical justice because what the government is doing is taking the place of God in determining what is good and right, who is deserving or undeserving, placing their laws above God's laws and then calling it justice. Understand why this is so important? It's not just about helping end racism. Not just about women's rights. Not just about the fight for abortion or the LGBT, the alphabet community. Yeah, they took up, what, 3/4 of the alphabet? And the numbers too? LGBTQ2+? AA+? Whatever. It's not just about that. There's a bigger issue here that the government is trying to play God. And trying to control us. Now you can't call somebody who is identified as a woman, you can't call them he. That's an insult. That's And it's always been a heart issue. It's always been a heart issue. Biblical justice has always been a heart and a law of God issue. If the law of God says one thing and human beings do the opposite, that's unjust. Easy. Right? Remember the definition that I gave biblical justice. Biblical justice is making things right based on the very character and word of God. Why? Because he's the only worthy standard of morality, goodness, and correctness. So you have to base it on him. Whatever you consider to be justice has to be based on God. We can't base it on our own view of morality because we all have different ones. In order to make things right, justice must be applied based on God's standards, His laws. Ultimately, justice is a heart issue because no sinful human being is able to justify themselves before God because He is the standard. He is holy and He is the only just judge. And therefore, as human beings that can't live up to that standard, we all deserve what? Death. The consequence of being unjust to a holy God. But the good news of biblical social justice is that it also reveals God's character. You saw in the video? Justice, biblical justice, doesn't mean there's no room for compassion and mercy. That's the good part about biblical justice. Because there is room for compassion and mercy. It's not up to the government to say to you, I don't care how hard you work for your money, give it so that I can give it to whom I think deserves it. No mercy for you, only mercy for the oppressed. That's not how God works, right? God shows no partiality. Because biblical social justice also shows God's mercy and kindness. And so without sacrificing God's justice, without sacrificing that, God's most righteous act is displayed where His justice and His mercy intersect. This is also where forgiveness is found, the cross of Christ. When Christ died on the cross, God never sacrifices being just. He was still just, perfectly just. Because why? The penalty that Christ took on the cross, we deserved it. God had to punish it. But because of his mercy, he didn't give it to us. He gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was still just. He still punished sin, but he punished it by mercy. Right? That's why I say justice is a hard issue. How do you show real justice? See, if you have the heart of God. What social justice does, modern social justice, what it does is it takes that truth, takes the truth about God's justice and his administration of it, and then they cry, that's unjust. What you did to your son, unjust. Some people call God a cosmic child abuser because he killed his own son. Is it unjust for him to do that? Or is that like the ultimate show of love and mercy? But social justice cries out, no, that's unjust. Anything in the Bible that goes against the oppressed, unjust. Slavery, remember? That's why I made the whole series on slavery about this. Because there's people who are calling out Christians and saying, your God is a God of slaves. He condones slavery. No, he doesn't. You just don't understand who he is. Same thing now. It's happening. Did you read one of the social justice laws? Anybody lie with an animal, they should be killed. Social justice is going to cry, unjust. Why? You can love whoever you want. Isn't that the argument for same-sex, the alphabet people? Why can't I get married? Can I love whatever I want or whoever I want? That's why Manny Pacquiao lost his Nike sponsorship. Remember what Manny Pacquiao said? Well, next thing you know, they'll be marrying their dogs. They'll be marrying their cats. That's what he said. And Nike, you are conservative. You are biblical. No more sponsorships. That's what's going on. We don't see it. Like, we don't see it like this. But if I point it out to you, you're like, yeah, that's what happened. Why do you think Nike did that? Because social justice advocates are going to call them out and they're going to cancel them. Right? That's why a lot of churches are compromising, because they don't want to talk about this. That's why I said this is probably our last message, our last service here. If they watch, somebody watch this, it's a social justice advocate, we're done. Because I'm not supposed to be preaching this. I'm preaching hate right now to them. I don't care what you say. It doesn't make sense with my worldview. What about me? What about my worldview? Why are the Christians, the bad guys here? How is that not impartial? Social justice takes the truth of biblical justice and cries injustice. Social justice makes justice a state issue instead of a heart issue. Ultimately, social justice is about the redistribution of resources and advantages to disadvantaged groups as determined by the government. What we are seeing nowadays is how the government goes about accomplishing this, as it groups people as either advantaged or disadvantaged, and then labels these groups who have an advantage as oppressors, and then groups who are disadvantaged as the oppressed. So now the question is, who are the oppressors and who are the oppressed according to social justice? And then how does social justice advocates determine who's who? In order for us to answer these questions, we need to dig deeper and see the roots of where social justice came from and what the ultimate mission of social justice is. Want to know what that is? Come back next week. We'll return to this topic again. Once we get this fix in our head, like once we understand this, then we're going to take a look at the examples in the text and see how social justice would deal with these issues that are in the text. Hopefully you can come back for for that. Amen? Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Just.